Chapter 2. Jane Goes to School. 4 days later, a carriage took me out of Gateshead on a dark and rainy morning. Only Bessie was there to say goodbye to me. 50 miles was a long journey for a 10-year-old girl who was alone, and I do not remember much of it. We passed through some small towns, and then, as night came, great grey hills were all around us. At last, I fell asleep, and when I woke up, the carriage's door was open. A girl in a brown dress was standing outside. I got out and looked tiredly around me. Wind and rain filled the air as I followed the girl towards some tall stone buildings that had lots of windows. I was taken into a room with a fire. I put my hands next to the fire and then looked around me. I could see high walls, old furniture, and dark curtains. Suddenly, two women came in. The first was tall, and she was holding a candle.
"Are you hungry?" she asked.
"Yes, ma'am," I said.
"Please get her some dinner, Miss Miller," she said, turning to the other, younger woman.
Then she left. The second woman took me through the building's long, dark corridors until we reached a huge room that was filled with 4 long tables. 80 girls sat around the tables on benches. They were between 9 and 20 years old, and all of them wore the same brown dresses. They were studying, with their heads together over opened books. They read by the light of candles. Miss Miller told me to sit. Then she shouted,
"Put your books away, girls! It's time for dinner!"
4 of the older girls stood up from different tables and took the books away. Then they came back with trays of water and a small dry cake for each of us. I drank some of the water, but I was too tired to eat. When the meal was finished, Miss Miller said some prayers. Then the girls began to leave. Miss Miller and I followed them to a huge room with rows of beds. Miss Miller helped me to take off my clothes and gave me one of the brown dresses to wear in the morning. Suddenly, everything was dark and silent. I was very tired, and I immediately fell asleep. When I opened my eyes, the girls were already out of bed, and they were putting on their brown dresses. My body shook with cold while I put on my dress. I followed the other girls back to the dark schoolroom. We all sat around the tables and waited. Then, 3 teachers entered the room, and each one sat at a table. Miss Miller sat at the 4th table, which had the youngest children around it. I was called to this table. We said prayers, and then our lesson started. While Miss Miller was speaking, I noticed some writing in the stone over the door. Lowood Institution. Breakfast was porridge. I was very hungry, but the porridge was terrible, and I could not eat it. We all continued our lessons with empty stomachs. At lunch, they brought us bread and cheese, which we ate hungrily. I sat next to a girl who had brown hair and looked about 13 years old. She was reading a book.
"Is your book interesting?" I asked.
"I like it," she said.
Then she looked down and started to read again. But I continued to speak to her.
"Can you tell me what the writing over the door means?" I asked. "What is Lowood Institution?"
"The house that you are in," she replied. "It is a school for orphans.
children who have no parents.
Then she began to read again. At 5 o'clock, we had another meal. We were given coffee and brown bread, which I ate quickly, but I was still hungry. After that, we studied again. We had a glass of water and a cake before saying prayers and going to bed. And that was how my first day passed at Lowood. The days continued in the same way. Sometimes it snowed, and we could not wash because the water was too cold. Sometimes the porridge was terrible, and sometimes it was good and we could eat it. But even when the porridge was good, there was never enough. The girl who I spoke to on my first day was called Helen Burns. Her teacher, Miss Scatcherd, did not like her, and I often heard her shout things at Helen like, "Your hands are dirty," or "Put your head up," or "Don't look at me like that." Sometimes she even hit Helen. But Helen was always polite, and she never shouted back. Slowly, we became friends, but I did not always understand her.
"If Miss Scatcherd hits me like that, I will hit her back," I said crossly. "You will not," Helen replied. "If you hit a teacher, you'll have to leave the school. That will be bad for your family. We have come here to learn."
Then she turned away. She liked to be alone and to think a lot. The months passed. Heavy snow fell during January, February, and March. The school was cold, and there were not enough fires. Our clothes were not thick enough to keep us warm. At last spring came, and the days grew warmer. The sky turned blue, and the trees around Lowood were thick and green. But in spring, typhus came. Many girls caught it. Helen and I did not catch it, but Helen became very ill. I went to visit her, and she held my hand in her cold one.
"You have come to say goodbye, Jane," she said quietly. "I am going to my last home."
"No," I cried. And then I lay on the bed next to her, and she put her arm over me.
"You must not cry for me," she said. "Please, don't leave me, Jane. I like to have you close to me."
And then, a few minutes later, my only friend was dead. The typhus passed, but many girls died, and some important-looking men came into the school and started asking questions. They learned about the bad food, the cold rooms, and the thin clothes that we had to wear, and they were angry. So Mr. Brocklehurst had to leave his job at Lowood. After that, things got much better for us. I stayed at Lowood for another 6 years as a student, and I worked there for 2 more years as a teacher. Then I decided that it was time to go somewhere new.